It is my great pleasure to welcome IQ Al Rasooli. He is the foremost spokesperson on Islam, knows the religion better than any Muslim on the planet today. And he has the courage and compassion to tell the truth when far too few people are willing to do so. IQ, how are you this fine day?
Superb, I think. Thank you.
You and I had a brief discussion about the fact that there is a periodical, an investigative periodical in Germany called PI, that has come to the conclusion that the co-pilot who downed the German aircraft had converted to Islam during his six-month absence from flight training. And yet both of us are unwilling, based upon that person's evidence, which we have not actually seen their evidence, just conclusion, to go there. But there were some aspects of what happened that certainly resonate consistent with Islamic teaching, don't they?
Yes. But unfortunately, we don't have at the moment, so far, the truth.
Yeah. Yesterday I did a quick bit on it, and I said, listen, there's two possibilities. He was a Muslim, he wasn't a Muslim. And here are the consequences either way. And if it was just bad judgment on his part, then he's a victim of what I think is a bigger foe than Islam, which is political correctness and causing people to forego exercising discriminating good judgment, where it's very difficult for people now to process right and wrong. And if he was a Muslim, then he was doing as Muhammad would have him do. Either way, it's bad.
It really is a tragedy, because according to the latest reports, he was a very depressed person.
Yes.
And he should never be flying.
Right.
But they allowed him to fly.
And a lot of people are depressed today, and depression is higher today than any other time in human history. You look at America's military, for example. The depression that is now the cause of 600,000 U.S. Veterans claiming that they have depression so bad it requires the government to give them $6,000 a month and to give them medication to handle their depression. And, of course, the drug culture and alcohol abuse culture is really all an outgrowth of consequence of depression. I think people don't really have a reason to live anymore.
I think it's just diagnosed more. There's more things now that are called being depressed. What used to just be, he's moody, or he's a different guy. And now they say that's depression. So I think you're getting much more cases that are being diagnosed as being depressed as opposed to people actually being depressed.
Yeah, I don't agree. I appreciate your comments. I just and I do understand that the diagnosis is on the rise, but I think that the drug abuse culture that exists, the fantasy culture where people are wrapped themselves in video games and spend much of their free time involved in a make-believe world. It's part of escapism. There is a higher percentage of the population depressed today than any other time in human history. And a lot of that is because we have been indoctrinated in our cultures with one of two alternatives, either socialist secular humanism, where there is no sense of right and wrong, there's no sense of character or purpose, or Islam. Those are the two most prominent doctrines today, and they're both extraordinarily depressing.
I agree with what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. I just think that people use "I'm depressed" as a cop out, and that's it. It's "I'm depressed. Why are you like that? I'm depressed."
Yeah, and I go one step beyond that and say, "Well, why are you depressed?" And the answer is usually resonates the same. Now, I am depressed over something, IQ, that I sent you during that exchange. And it was the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland Security, I think, is perhaps the single greatest threat to American freedom. I view it in a very negative light. But the Secretary that was appointed by the Abominator to head the Department of Homeland Security, his name is Jay Johnson. Are you familiar with what Jay Johnson said about the Quran and American values?
Yes. Tragically, everybody associated with Obama is complete denial of Islam,
yeah.
Complete denial of the Quran. And they are misleading hundreds of millions of people, not only in America, 308 million or 310 million, but people in Europe.
Yeah.
By not associating Islam with all the acts of terror, in 99.99% cases of terror against infidels are committed by Muslims. And the Muslims are telling the world that we are doing it because the Quran tells us to do it, and yet Obama and the Western leaders are completely at odds with reality.
Well, everything you said is true. There's one aspect of it that I want to challenge. You said that the Obamanator and those who are associated with him are in denial about Islam. I wish it was simply denial. Denial of Islam is to say the Islamic State is not Islamic. That would be denial of Islam. And that's tragic, I mean, because it is such an enormous threat to the world and to our security. But the comments that Obama will then make and the comments that Jay Johnson made are not just a denial of what Islam is. It's a recasting of Islam for what it is not.
That's also true. But the recasting is part of the denial, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, you
if somebody
have to
is looking
first,
at
right.
the devil and they right. say the devil looks like the angel,
right?
Well, there is nothing you can talk about. There's nothing to discuss after that.
Yeah.
That's denial.
Yeah, they begin with denial, and then after denial, they recast Islam in the way they want people to believe it exists, which, because of their positions of influence, we're paying for this nincompoop. As paying a high salary to this nincompoop, as Jay Johnson is the head of the Department of Homeland Security. And he is cavorting with those who would destroy America. The greatest threat to American security is who he's meeting with when he made these comments. He was being honored by CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations.
Yes, but CARE is definitely 100% anti-American. CARE is 100% Islamic.
Right.
CARE is 100% pro-Muslim Brotherhood. CARE 100% is a traitor to the United States of America and to its people.
Right.
And everybody in Homeland Security, all the top leaders in Homeland Security, are of exactly the same cloth. They are all either Muslims or Muslim sympathizers. You're right. It is the greatest threat to America. Not outside America, but from inside America, and they're useless.
Yeah. So this article reads, Jay Johnson, the Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, raised some eyebrows recently when he linked the Quran to American values and to Martin Luther King. He made the inflammatory... we're going to talk about King just here in a moment. He made the... American values, we'll talk about that, too. He made the inflammatory remarks during a ceremony by the Muslim Public Affairs Council to honor him. So as the Muslim, I think I said CARE, and I shouldn't have. It's the Muslim Public Affairs Council. So it is an organization that is even more overtly Islamic than is CARE. To honor him for his, quote, dedication to and personal investment in engagement with the Muslim American communities across the United States.
Well, the Muslim American community across the United States is treasonous. There is nothing to talk about. The fact that they are called Muslims, the fact that any human being, whether male or female, says, I am a Muslim, automatically makes them the enemies of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim, which means they are enemies of 80% of current humanity. This is not, I'm not brushing the Muslims with a broad brush, which is not true. It's a fact. The Quran separates humanity into two parts, those who are Muslims and those who are not. And those who are not Muslims are infidels, kuffar, unbelievers, kafirun. And what is their destiny? Three choices.
Yeah.
One,
yeah.
To convert to Islam whether we like it or not. Two, to submit under Sharia law to Islam in humiliation and degradation for the rest of our lives. And three, if we don't agree with the first two, to be exterminated. I'm not saying that. Every Muslim imam says it in every single mosque, every single Friday, in 80 languages, in 180 countries.
Yes. In fact, there's Dar al-Islam, which is the House of Islam. But the other house is not called the house of infidels, is it?
It's called Dar al-Harb, the territory of war.
Right. Exactly. So there's the house of Muslims, and there's the territory of war. And if you're not a Muslim, from the Islamic point of view, you're in the territory of war, which is very interesting that, of course, that the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security would say, the reading of the Quran reminded me of things MLK, Martin Luther King, said a lot, which are quintessentially American values. So I looked up some of the things that Martin Luther King said. For example, he said, at the center of nonviolence stands the principle of love. Isn't the Quran the most violent book ever written? Is there any book that even...
There is no love in Islam. There is no love in the Quran. There's not a single sentence in the whole of the Quran which shows any love between human beings. In fact, there is no love between Allah and his subjects. Why? He calls them my slaves.
Correct. Exactly.
There is no love between a master and a slave.
So there's two aspects of this. This is, by the way, one of Martin Luther King's most famous statements. And there's two aspects of it that are the antithesis of Muhammad, Islam, and the Quran. One is there is no love between Allah and humankind because there is slaves, and there is no love expressed between Muhammad and or any Muslim and another human being. So there is no principle of love in Islam. And number two, Islam is a declaration of war against all humankind. It begins with the Pledge of Aqaba, which is a declaration of war, quote unquote, against all humankind on behalf of Muhammad. You're
By
dealing
the way,
with a...
the Quran says it, with all due respect. You know it as well as I do. The Quran says it's a declaration of war, and the Hadith confirms that it's a declaration of war against all human beings.
Correct. I mean, all you have to do is read the 8th surah of the Quran. It's a declaration of war.
Yes.
It talks about... Right, it talks about telling Muhammad, Allah allegedly telling Muhammad, that he can't enslave people until he's made a great slaughter in the land. And that Muslims should use all weapons at their reach to continue to fight an eternal and everlasting war against those who are non-Muslims. Martin Luther King was non-violent. Muhammad was the epitome of violence. Welcome back to Saturday Miss Grammar Conversation with IQ Arasula. Jay Johnson, the head of the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, compared the Quran. He says while reading the Quran, it reminds him of the sayings of Martin Luther King. So let's approach some of the sayings of Martin Luther King and let's contrast them to the Quran. The next is, nonviolence means avoiding not only external physical violence, but also internal violence of spirit. You not only refuse to shoot a man, you refuse to hate him. That's the antithesis of Muhammad, is it not?
100% the opposite. Well, it's 180 degrees.
Right.
Because everything about Islam is to kill, to slaughter, to murder, to rape, to plunder. There is nothing decent about Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening, you think that Yada and I are racists, Islamophobes, and we don't know what the hell we're talking about. But just read the Quran. This piece of garbage of Homeland Security gentlemen who compared the Quran with Martin Luther King, somebody should have asked him, have you read the Quran? It's a simple question.
Yeah, and he claims that reading that he did read it and that he came to this conclusion that it was the same as Martin Luther King, which means, A, he did not read it and he was lying, and B, he is plain to an audience. He wants people to believe that which is not true. So he is either ignorant and therefore shouldn't have the job, particularly Homeland Security, or he is actively being deceptive.
Well, he's a criminal.
He's a traitor. Means a traitor.
He is a criminal. Absolutely, he's a criminal. He's a traitor. There's no question about it. What does the Quran say? Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 85. Anybody listening, go and check it. It says, if anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. Al-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 33. It says, Allah, who has sent his apostle Muhammad with the guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to proclaim it over all other religions. What's ambiguous about this? What is ambiguous about this? This is racism.
Right.
This
and
is not Mein Kampf.
Right, exactly. It's the Quran that is intolerant and racist. Now, you go on further, though. He speaks of nonviolence and of individuals having not only to refuse to kill, but to refuse to hate. What does Muhammad say, or his God say, which is the same as Muhammad, but in the ninth surah of the Quran, when Muhammad's followers are refusing to go off and fight and kill Byzantine Christians, what does Muhammad say of those who are unwilling to fight, to hate, and to kill?
That there are traitors to Islam should be slaughtered.
Yes. Go read the ninth surah, folks. It's clear. We're not making it up. Jay Johnson claims to have read it, and it was the same as Martin Luther King. And I'm here to tell you, I've read it, and it's the opposite.
Yeah, but he's not the only one. Even the Pope said he read the Quran. He couldn't find any aggression in it. It makes you sick. It makes one sick. The leader of 1.2 billion people misleading them? Why?
Right. Why?
Why is he misleading them?
You know, if you read just the first nine surahs of the Quran, now, if you read just the first nine surahs, you're leaving out at least 90% of the hate. Because all of the other surahs speak specifically of Muhammad's rage against neighbors, the Quraysh tribe in Mecca. But the first nine surahs are a declaration of war against all humankind. It is a celebration of killing.
Yeah,
so we have the same thing with the Pope.
Yes.
The Pope is either stupid and lying and saying that he read the Quran and couldn't find any violence in it, that he's either lying, that he didn't read it, and it's just lying to create what impression that he wants to create, or he knows the truth and is being deliberately dishonest for a political or religious objective.
But either way, that's a crime.
Oh, of course.
A crime because he's misleading people, thousands
right.
of millions of people,
right.
into believing that Islam is peaceful. Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 216, it says, Jihad, holy war fighting in the cause of Allah, is ordained upon you Muslims. Muhammad is telling his followers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, though you dislike it, and it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you.
Right.
He is telling them it's good for them to go on jihad. What does jihad mean? A Sahih Bukhari hadith 4.50, narrated by Anas bin Malik, he says, Muhammad said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause, qital fi sabilillah, jihad, is better than the whole of the world. Hey, these are not your words, these are not my words, these are the words of the scripture of Muhammad. So which part of it that this piece of garbage in Homeland Security didn't understand?
All of it. We'll be back. IQ, based upon the quotations of intolerance that you read, that no religion will be accepted of anyone other than Islam, and that Muslims have been ordered to fight and kill non-Muslims for all eternity. This is the quote that Jay Johnson, the first one that he used to compare the Quran to Martin Luther King. He says, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Is there any part of the Quran that has us living together as brothers?
Never. Not once. Never.
But there's a lot of the Quran that has us perishing as fools.
Yes, because we are ignoring them. One of the items that we haven't discussed regarding Martin Luther King and Arapor, this gentleman and what's his name, the Pope.
Right.
Martin Luther King said, nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
Yeah. He did.
He never quoted that verse, did he?
No.
The guy Homeland Security.
No, as a matter of fact, one of the themes when you read Martin Luther King's statements, one of the most overriding themes is that in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by good people. It is the his statements here are exactly what we are doing. And why we're constantly questioning people, why there aren't more people who are willing to stand up and object to Islam, to quarantine it, to condemn it, because it is such a deadly and destructive virus.
There was another statement similar to this. Evil wins when good people do nothing.
Correct.
That's exactly what's happening.
Right. So not only was Martin Luther King nonviolent and Muhammad wholly violent, he said, I've been made victorious with terror. They're the opposite in their approach. Violence, nonviolence. They're the opposite of the approach in terms of racism. Muhammad was a racist and viewed the Arabs as the superior race and all other races as inferior, where Martin Luther King says, I don't want a man judged by the color of his skin, but by the character
Correct.
Of his heart.
Correct.
They're opposite in that regard.
They are opposites in every regard. There is no chance in heaven or hell that Martin Luther King is in any way, shape, or form similar to anything in the Quran and Muhammad. They are opposites.
Yeah. I mean, it's the realization that Martin Luther King wanted people to stand up nonviolently to those who were violent. And Muhammad wanted to use violence to terrorize those who were nonviolent. And that is the centerpiece of both men's mantras. They are the antithesis of one another.
Correct. So this gentleman from Homeland Security is not stupid, he's evil. That's not stupidity. I don't think he did it out of stupidity. He's evil. He must have been paid a huge amount of money to do that, or to say what he did. A huge amount of money.
Yeah, it's he is deliberately evil. It's and by the way, that happens. If you look at George W. Bush, he received some $20 million for the first speech he gave, paid by the Saudi Arabians. And so he eliminated the Saudi Arabian connection to 9/11. For a bribe, and he couldn't take the bribe when it was offered in the White House, but the moment that he left the White House, $25 million was transferred to his checking account, and it's what these men do. They accept bribes, and Muslims have a lot of money because of OPEC.
Yes, they buy people, they buy universities,
correct.
They buy churches, they buy the Pope, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And those that they can't bribe into submission, they threaten into submission.
Yes, they kill.
Right.
They kill. That's why they threaten you. That's why they threaten me. That's why they threaten Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, all of the other people who are telling the world what Islam is all about.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
On war and violence, Muhammad declared a war against all humankind. Martin Luther King said, I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless night of racism and war that the bright daylight of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconventional love will have the final word. Well, I'm not a big fan of unconditional love. In fact, I think unconditional love is a stupid concept. Love must have conditions. I am a big fan of being armed with the truth as opposed to weapons. And in that regard, he is again the opposite of Muhammad.
Well, Muhammad said in the hadith, Sahih Muslim hadith 4631 and 4626, said, Muhammad said, I love that I should be killed in Allah's cause, jihad. Then I should be brought back to life to be killed again in jihad, to be brought back to life to fight again in jihad. What more can I tell you? I mean, these are not your words. These are not my words. These are Muhammad's words as written and bequeathed to us by his companions.
Yes. You mentioned that... And Martin Luther King said, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance. That would be religious ignorance, if you will. and conscientious stupidity, which is political correctness in our world. In Muhammad's parting shot in his Quran, the fifth surah was the last revealed chronologically, he speaks of Muslims who would question the Quran, seek to know the truth. And he said all of them ceased to be Muslims.
Correct.
Truth is the
That's
enemy of Islam.
Yeah, this is why Muslims have been stuck in Muhammad's 7th century Arabia for the last 1,400 years and will continue to be so for the next 14,000 years, especially if we quarantine them.
IQ, I made a prediction about a month or so ago that was the antithesis of what common knowledge, common opinion would say. I said that by declaring war on the Islamic State, that rather than eradicating them, that Obama would make the Islamic State the most popular, the most numerous, the most effective, the most overall violent and successful Islamic terrorist organization of all time. That declaring war on them would have the opposite effect. How's that prediction standing up to the test of time thus far?
It's doing extremely well because Obama has no intention of eradicating ISIS. He has every intention of making them the most powerful unit in the world.
And declaring war on them, when you declare on a war on a doctrine that was conceived in war, conceived for the purpose of war, you're playing right into their strengths.
Of course. You cannot defeat ISIS with war.
No.
Unless you exterminate them, exactly as you said, or unless you quarantine Islam.
Yeah,
there are no other choices, in fact.
Right.
None.
Declaring war on ISIS is identical to pouring gasoline on a raging fire.
Correct. And that's what he has been doing all the time. Look what's happening in the Yemen now.
All right.
I mean, now you have not only Saudi Arabia. Jordan is willing to join.
Yep.
Egypt is willing to join. Even Pakistan is willing to join. This
right.
is a religious war.
All-out religious
Shia
war.
Shia Islam and Sunni Islam.
Correct. And, you know, the next prediction that I made back a month or so ago is that this declaration of war against the Islamic State, with America arming both sides, we're providing all of the weapons in this fight on both sides, fanning the flames of war, that this is what we're witnessing is the first battles of World War III.
Correct. And it's going to come to America also. These acts of terror are coming to you in America, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when and how much.
Correct. Correct. We have begun World War III. We're witnessing
yep.
it right now, and it was started by Barack Hussein Obama.
Correct. I've been saying this for God knows 6-7 years now.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you that he didn't act alone. I mean, this emergence of the Sunni-Shia war that has re-erupted after centuries of relative silence was originally started because George W. Bush lied about the justifications for invading Iraq, and he ultimately gave Iraq to Iran, and that is what began this whole process. But while that was ultimately stupid, what Obama has done since has begun World War III.
I would like to make a little correction.
Okay.
It was Carter who started it. It was George W. Bush who added the fuel to it, and Obama adding more gasoline to it. Had not Carter allowed the mullahs to take over from the Shah of Iran, none of this would have happened. Not
yeah.
a single item would have happened.
You know, and there's something about Jimmy Carter that most people don't know. He is a raging anti-Semite. He is hateful in the extreme. He is more outspoken and hateful against Israel than is Barack Hussein Obama.
Correct.
And so his affinity for Islam runs very deep because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, according to Jimmy Carter. It was Jimmy Carter made two horrific mistakes. The first was turning against the Shah. And listen, the Shah was a dictator, yes. Saddam Hussein was a dictator. Muammar Gaddafi was a dictator. Dictators in the Islamic world are vastly superior to religious leaders. Vastly superior.
Correct.
And, you know, Islam is a terrible disease that is best controlled by dictatorial rule. And so when Jimmy Carter turned on the Shah and allowed the Ayatollah Khomeini to return, that was the first move. If you want to know the impetus of World War III, that was the first move. You're correct.
Correct.
But then he made a far worse mistake shortly thereafter. And that is that Jimmy Carter wanted to, with Zbigniew Brzezinski, wanted to give the Soviet Union a taste of what they gave us in Vietnam. He wanted to start a proxy war with them, and he rented the Taliban from Pakistan and armed the Taliban to go fight the Soviet-backed government, and then used the database of, which was called Al-Qaeda, to supply Mujahideens to fire American weapons at the Soviets. We manufactured our own enemy. This is the truth. Jimmy Carter struck the first two blows of World War III, and then George W. Bush jumped in with both feet and gave Iraq to Iran. Welcome back to Shattering Mess. IQ, we've talked about the fact that it's important to know how we got into the mess that we're in, and collectively I think we've done a good job of presenting that. But it's important also that people understand the consequence of this mess. This is all-out civil war between religious war between Shia and Sunni Muslims. Is this a fight to the death, or is there any way that this fight between Sunni and Shia Muslims can be resolved peaceably?
It cannot be resolved peaceably, because for 1,400 years it hasn't been resolved peaceably. It's a religious war. And those two groups of Muslims, although they hate each other, they hate us, who are not Muslims, even more. So fighting to the death between the two of them is the best thing that happens to us, who are not Muslims.
Yes, as a matter of fact, when the United States yesterday bombed Tikrit and tried to work with the Shiite militias, mostly from Iran, the Shiite militias all backed away and said, you know, if you're going to bomb Tikrit, if the U.S. is going to bomb, we're not going to go fight with the U.S., so go away. And they left the fight. They hate us more than they hate Sunni Muslims. The Shiites do.
This is what I said.
Yeah.
Both of them hate us, non-Muslims, and they hate each other.
Correct.
Yes, so and America.
Is there anything America can do to make this better?
Yes. Not to interfere. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. But it won't make it better. It'll just keep it from getting worse.
Correct. But don't interfere, because you're not solving anything.
Right.
America has not been able to solve anything in Islam. By the way, all the time we hear that from Americans who hate Israel, that
right.
they supply Israel with $3.5 billion. Well, correct. But America spent over $2 trillion defending Muslims.
Correct.
Nobody remembers that.
Yeah. And the reality here is that this is a war between Sunni and Shia Islam for supremacy. Is there any chance that Shia Islam can prevail?
No. For the simple reason Shia Islam is 15%, Sunni Muslims are 85%, and Pakistan is a nuclear power with at least 120 bombs.
Right. So there's a zero possibility, just by the numbers, that Shia Islam can prevail over Sunni Islam. You know, I also did the math of the size of their militaries. The Shias are outgunned 25-1.
Correct. So, but, I mean, the military is not enough because Iran at the moment doesn't have an atom bomb.
That's right. The Sunnis have 25 times more military hardware than the Shias do. 25 times. And so they outnumber them 4.5-1, and they outgun them 25-1. There's a 0% possibility that Shia Islam will prevail, but whose side is America fighting on in Iraq and Syria when it's bombing the Islamic State?
Shia.
Yeah. And who is supplying the troops on the ground that America is coordinating in Iran and Iraq?
But they supply both sides.
We are almost exclusively now and around in Iraq supplying guidance and bombing and engaging and coordinating the Iranian military units.
Correct.
She is. Now, we provided the weapons to the Sunnis because that was part of the Awakening program. The Islamic State came out of the Awakening program, Petraeus disaster. So, no matter, if so long as the United States continues to supply weapons, continues to engage, continues to declare war, all we're going to do is make a bad situation worse, and there is nothing that anyone in all of humanity can do to stop this war.
Correct. Well, something else is happening. More and more Muslims in your military. They just captured two, I think, the Illinois.
Yes.
Who were American soldiers.
Yes.
In America.
Yes.
Trying to start another killing like Fort Hood.
Yes.
American soldiers.
Right.
Muslims.
Just like Hassan.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. America has been so misled, we don't know who the enemy is. But the enemy knows who we are.
Yeah, but we know who the enemy is 100%. But the American leaders are not willing to say who the enemy is. The enemy is Islam.
Right.
There is nothing. There is no enemy in America except Islam. Hmm. The Chinese Americans are not the enemy. Jewish Americans are not the enemy. Christian Americans are not the enemy. Indian Americans are not the enemy. Only Muslim Americans are.
So who supplies the weapons to Pakistan?
Again, the United States of America. To the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Saudi Arabia?
No, also America.
Egypt?
America.
And who has just declared war and is now engaged bombing in Yemen?
Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
Right. Yeah. Pakistan has said they want to join too.
Yeah.
We are the catalyst for World War III. It's a bad thing. Thank you, IQ.